Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm coming to you from Kenya, and we are talking about the weapons of our warfare. If you had not heard last week's message, go to the website. It will be downloaded there on the radio archives, the website, gatheroutcast.com. And you can hear the first part of that message. We talked about how the weapons that we use to fight the enemy in our life are not carnal or not fleshly weapons. We don't pick up swords and machetes and guns and go after the enemy. We go after the enemy with the spiritual weapons that the Lord has given us to take on the enemy, which is a spiritual battle. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 12, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so we are in an unseen battle. You are in an unseen battle. And this battle goes on day and night. It will go on all the rest of the days of your life. It will go on until you have the last breath that you take here on this earth. And when you do take that last breath, then you, if you are a born-again believer, you will be transported by the angels up to your heavenly home to spend all eternity with Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. That's something to look forward to. But until that day, you're going to be in a battle. And so we talked about last week, the enemy comes against us like a flood. The enemy comes against us to try to tear us away, and he establishes strongholds in the lives of the believers and strongholds in the lives of those who have rejected him and who have become in rebellion and disobedient to him. He establishes strongholds, and it is the purpose of the weapons to tear down these strongholds. It is the purpose of the weapons to establish the kingdom of God within the believer through the aid and help of the Holy Spirit, to establish the kingdom of God within the believer, to keep these strongholds from being established and to keep them from becoming stronger and stronger to the point where the devil can take a person out of their destiny, out of their purpose, and even out of this life. And so I'm just going to review the weapons that we talked about last week very briefly, and then we'll get into the new ones that we are going to talk about today. Well, the weapons that we have, first of all, I listed prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. The second I listed was fasting, and we talked about Isaiah chapter 58, where you fast and your healing will speedily spring forth, and you will cry out to the Lord, and he will say, "Here I am." And so fasting is very important in conjunction with prayer, and it is a very, very powerful tool, not just to get the attention of the Lord, although I believe it does that, but also it humbles the believer. It puts the believer in a place of humility and that low, low place, and the Lord says, "I will exalt you when you humble yourself before me. I will exalt you." And so the Lord sees and he knows those who are praying, those who are fasting. And so he pours out a special blessing when that occurs. Well, the third weapon that we talked about last week, the study of God's word, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Beloved, good doctrine leads to good behavior. Good doctrine leads to a good life. Good doctrine leads to a proper understanding and a proper respect and fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so you get to know the Lord by studying God's word. That's one of the main ways. You get to know the Lord when you can rightly divide the word of truth. And so we have those three: prayer, fasting, and study of God's word. And today we're going to take up number 4 and number 5 of the ones that I have listed here. Number 4, praise and worship. Beloved, this is so important. This is so critical that you learn to praise the Lord, that you learn to give Him the praise, no matter if you're in the valley, no matter if you're on the mountaintop, no matter if you're on the benches somewhere in between, that you learn to praise the Lord and you give Him all the praise, even when it doesn't look like there's anything that can be praised, even when it looks like everything is coming against you, that you have no hope, you have no way of escape. You praise the Lord, you give Him thanks for everything that He has done for you. You find one little small thing to praise Him about, and you praise Him for that, and then you look for another, and you praise Him for that. And beloved, if you get an attitude of praise and worship about your life, if you get an attitude of rejoicing over every little thing, any little victory in your life, if you adopt an attitude of praise for every little thing in your life is going to take on a whole different demeanor. You're going to have a whole different viewpoint about everything in your life. Just learn to praise Him. Just learn to worship Him. Praise and worship go together. When you praise Him, you have a heart of gratitude. You give thanks for everything. When you worship Him, you realize that He is the Creator, that you have nothing without Him, that everything that you have is because of Him and for Him and through Him. And so when you praise and you worship, then you come into a right, proper relationship with God and a proper respect for the One who has given you everything that you have. Well, Psalm 92, verse 1, I spoke that we would start Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And so we know that it is good. The Lord appreciates it. But even more than that, it builds us up to praise the Lord. It builds us up when we worship the Lord and we have a true and proper understanding of who the Lord really is. Well, I'm going to go to the last 5 psalms in the book of Psalms, and the psalms are full of praises. I believe that everybody should read the psalms every year, read through them all the time, just to keep yourself encouraged in the Lord. But I'm going to touch on some verses here, starting in Psalm 145 in verse 1. This is a praise of David. I will extol you, my God, O King, I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable, or beyond our understanding. And then down in verse 8, David says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. Well, that is certainly true. All your works deserve praise, Lord. All your works are worthy of praise. And so we praise you in the morning. We praise you in the evening. We praise you in between. And your saints shall bless you. Beloved, if you don't have a proper attitude of praise toward the Lord, you're going to be sour, you're going to be bitter, you're going to be mad, you're going to be complaining, and all of those things. Who wants to be around a complainer? Who wants to be around a bitter person? When you start to praise the Lord for every little thing, you cannot be bitter, you cannot be sad, you cannot be sour. You will be a rejoicing person, and other people will come to the brightness of your demeanor. Well, Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Well, you can certainly say that again. Praise is beautiful. It is pleasant. Wouldn't you rather hear somebody praising the Lord than complaining all the time and cursing God and cursing their life and the day they were born? It is good to praise. It is beautiful. It is pleasant. Psalm 147, verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars, and he calls them all by name. Verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. Well, beloved, if you don't have a heart of praise, an attitude of praise, I pray that you get one. Learn how to play the guitar. Learn how to play a keyboard. Learn how to play some kind of instrument. Learn how to sing and just give thanks and praise to the Lord, for he is worthy of all the praise that you can give him. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever, and he made a decree which will not pass away. Well, Psalm 149, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. For the Lord takes pleasure, verse 4, in his people he will beautify the humble with salvation. Psalm 150, this is a great psalm. Every single verse, there's only six verses in the psalm, but every single verse is about making a joyful noise to the Lord, making a racket, sing praise. Beloved, if you've never seen the people in Africa praise, you should come over here and visit Gather the Outcast just so you can watch the people in Africa praise the Lord. They dance, they sing, they sweat, they jump around, they shout, they scream, and it is a wonderful, wonderful sight to watch these people. They don't have anything compared to people in America. Their lives are full of poverty. They many times don't have nice clothing, they don't have food to eat, they don't have school fees, they don't have nice houses, very, very few of them even have a car, and yet they find some way, somehow, every single day, every single week to praise and shout to the Lord. And so it is an encouragement for me to worship with them, to praise with them, to see the joy in their hearts that they can have when they have very little in terms of material wealth. Well, Psalm 150, I'm going to close the praise and worship here with this one. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, in the church in America, there was a time about 10 or 15 years ago when there was a transition in the style and the type of music and the way that people worshiped and the way that people led the music. And many churches transitioned a bit away from the good old hymns, the good old 3 and 4 verse hymns, into a more contemporary style, praise band and worship band type of worship. And that is great. That is wonderful. Every time the Lord does a new thing, there's a new song that comes forth. But beloved, don't get stuck on any one kind of praise or any one kind of worship. They're all good if the Lord is the focus. They're all good if the Lord is the center. And here in Psalm 150, it says, praise him with the clashing cymbals, with the loud cymbals, with the stringed instruments and flutes. I even played a harmonica in a church one time in a worship song. And so everything is okay with God. Just make some noise to appreciate him. He knows your heart. Just make a song, sing a song, shout to the Lord, and he will appreciate it. He will love it, and you will be blessed even beyond what the Lord is blessed. Well, the fifth weapon of our warfare is the fellowship, which is extremely, extremely important that you be in a fellowship. If you're listening to me today, I appreciate the fact that you listen to radio ministry, but if you're not getting ready for church or you don't have a regular fellowship, you are missing out on what the Lord has for you, and you are not walking in completeness and fulfillment of everything that the Lord desires of you. The fellowship is so important because the church is the body of Christ. It is the bride of Christ. Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. How can a head have no body? How can a head function without a body? And how can a body function with no head? And so the fellowship is very important. It's not the idea of man. It is not a creation of man. It is a creation. The church is a creation of Christ Jesus. He established the church when he led the captivity captive. Ephesians 4:8-11, it says, Jesus went down into the lower parts of the earth, and he released the captives, and he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. That is when he established the church, when he came up out of the grave, and he was resurrected. He went and presented his very own blood. The Holy Spirit presented his very own blood of highest heavens. And then Jesus distributed the gifts and he started off the New Testament church. Well, Hebrews 10:25, the Apostle Paul takes up this issue of the fellowship. And he says, do not forsake the assembling of the saints, as is the manner of some, and so much more as you see the end day draw near. Well, what's he talking about there? He's saying that it is important as the end day draws near, and he's talking about the end day when the return of the Lord comes and the Lord comes back and raptures his church off of this earth, and then Jesus comes back with the saints to establish the millennial reign. That is the end day. And so Paul says, do not forsake the assembling of the saints. Beloved, we need to stay in the assembly. You need to be in the fellowship. You need the encouragement from other believers. You need other believers to pray with you. You need other believers to encourage you and to just listen to your story, listen to your testimony, listen to your complaints if you have any. But beloved, it is so important that we gather together as believers every week, and we give teachings, we give hymns, we give songs of praise and worship. We offer up our offerings so that missionaries can be sent, so that church buildings can be built, so that all the moves of God all over the earth can be funded and financed. And so it is extremely important that you be a part of that. If you are not part of a fellowship, get in one today. It is so easy for the devil to pick off individual believers when they are outside the fellowship, when they're trying to make it on their own. And beloved, most of the time when people are out of the fellowship, they have unconfessed sin, they have unrepentant sin, and the devil uses that unconfessed sin then to expand his reach and expand his stronghold within those isolated believers. And so I believe it's very important for you to be in a fellowship. I'm a pastor of a church here in Kenya, so I believe it's very important for these Kenyans to be in the fellowship. And even so, much more as the end day draws near. Beloved, it's going to get worse. It's going to get more intense. The spiritual battle is going to get more intense. It's going to be taking out individual believers and individual non-believers. Suicide will be rampant. Mass killings will be rampant. Drug addiction, drug overdose, all these things that are a bane and a curse to individuals, you're going to see them become more pronounced, more intense, more frequent, more prevalent. And the only antidote for all that is the Word of God and the fellowship of believers. Acts 2:42, talking about the first New Testament church that was established after Pentecost. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfast. When you are steadfast in something, that means you're going to be there every Sunday. You're going to get involved. You're going to find something to do in the fellowship. You're going to go to encounter meetings. You're going to go to prayer meetings. You're going to go to work days that the church has, because to be steadfast means that you're going to be immovable and you are going to be a part, an integral part, in what the body of Christ and what the church is doing in your local community. And so they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Well, beloved, that is God's plan, that you become a part of the church. If you're not a part, again, get in a church, swallow your pride, get some nice clothes on, and walk into a church this very day and worship the Lord with other believers who are there for the same purpose as you. Well, back to the scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, where we started last week. The Apostle Paul says that we cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, that's a big mouthful right there. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, what's he talking about? The devil tries to instill within us, in our mind, in our heart, in our actions, and in our behavior, that we give respect and we give a place for the high things of the devil in our life. And these high things raise themselves up against the knowledge of God. These high things raise themselves up against the obedience of our life to Jesus Christ. And an example of the high things in America, abortion is a high altar in America. It's a sacrifice of the blood of the innocents to the devil. And so it is a high thing. It is a high altar on the high mountains of America. Another issue in America, of course, is sexual immorality, homosexual marriage, and all the ways that sexual perversion and sexual immorality manifests itself in America. These are high things that come against the knowledge of God and the obedience to Jesus Christ. And so a great battle over the country of America is to tear down the idols, tear down the lifestyles and the demonic strongholds of sexual immorality. We have sexual immorality, of course, here in Africa, a lot of fornication, a lot of adultery here in Kenya. Polygamy is legal, primarily because of the Muslims, but also tribal tradition. Most of the African tribal traditions involve having multiple wives, and so polygamy is legal here in Kenya, and that is a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, we're going to take up more regarding this issue of high things exalting against the knowledge of God. We're going to take this up more next week and also talk about how you can speak over your life the plan that God has for you, how you can speak over your life the image that God wants for you, so that you can walk in your destiny, you can walk in the fullness of the blessing and the fullness of the plan that God has for your life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We stay on the air because of gifts of people from people just like you and prayers from people just like you. And so we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your gifts. I invite you today to partner with this ministry, not only to keep the radio broadcast coming, but also all the projects we have coming and going on in Africa, the upcoming crusades. We've already preached a crusade just recently in Kisii in southern Kenya. Next month in September, I'll be going to Tanzania to preach a big crusade down there with Bonnie Moitegi leading worship. And so we have many projects here in Africa. I invite you to partner with us. Sit down, write us out a check, let us know you're listening. Give us some words of encouragement, and we will be excited, you will be too, to know that you are participating in a ministry that is having a great impact here in Africa. Stay tuned for contact information coming up. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.